Call the first special session of the Fifth Osage Nation Congress to order. The first item on the agenda is prayer and Assistant Chief Eric Cornelius.
Heavenly Father, thank you again for letting us gather here in the service of our people. We want you to look down upon us, and we want you to bless this group of individuals that serve their nation. We should give you all their blessings, guidance, wisdom. We thank you for this opportunity to serve. We want you to bless this nation, make us productive, let us communicate well, and do our very best to serve the people that elect us here. I want you to look over these proceedings today, give it your blessing. All of these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Second item on the agenda is roll call. Congresswoman Bucklehead?
Present.
Congresswoman Edwards?
Present.
Congressman Hamilton?
Present.
Congressman Maker?
Here.
Congressman Mason?
Present.
Congressman Norris?
Here.
Congresswoman Pratt?
Here.
Congressman Shaw?
Here.
Congressman Supernaw?
Here.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Here.
Assistant Chief Redhorn?
Present.
We have a quorum. The next item on the agenda is Congressional Officer and Committee Caucus and Elections. I open the floor for nominations for Speaker. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I nominate Angela Pratt for Speaker.
Is there a second?
Do we need a second on nominations?
No. Congresswoman Bethelhead.
I nominate Shannon Edwards.
Congressman Norris.
I nominate Congressman Mason.
Move the nomination cease.
Second.
All those in favor of nomination ceasing?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Those opposed? Motion carries. We will vote on the nominations in the order that they were received. We have to have a majority vote for that, and a majority vote of the individuals present in order for that person to receive the position of Speaker. Once a majority vote is received, the voting process will stop and that person will become Speaker. All those in favor of Congresswoman Edwards?
Point of order. Prior to election, under Rule 1.14, before the ballot is taken, each person so nominated may make a public statement to the Congress indicating what the Congress may expect from his or her, him or her, or her or him, in the area of responsibility of the office. So I would like to make a statement about what you could expect from me if I were elected the Speaker of the Congress. So, I'm gonna let them. If I was elected, you would expect that the rules would be paramount, that we would follow the rules of the Congress because that's what they're there for. And also we would plan quite a bit so that everybody would know when they're supposed to be somewhere. They would know what was going on between the executive and legislative bodies. And I would have to step aside from my advocacy and become more of a mediator. And I'm able to do that because I sit as a judge in the Southern Plains region. And that's a different role from the role that I usually take on here, which is sometimes passionate, but always very much in support of the position that I think betters the Osage people. So I've gone back through again to look at the duties of the speaker, and the speaker conducts the business on behalf of Congress. The speaker represents the Congress at intertribal and intergovernmental functions, and keeps advises the Congress and the Congressional Affairs Committee committees in writing, and I think that's a strength of mine. I do believe that you always see communications from me, emails, phone calls, so I think I have good communication skills with the Congress. The Speaker serves as the public relations lead between executive and legislative, and today I went and spoke to the chief and told him that I anticipated that I would be running for this position, and I asked him if he could work with me, and he said yes, he could, and he would, because I said there's a lot of things that I think we've done in the past that we've given some positions that we need to just communicate better, and that can be in writing, and that can be over the phone, but we just need to work on better communication, and he agreed. The speaker establishes deadlines, and I think those are important. I think we miss some of those sometimes, and with deadlines and time certain, we can do a better job. I went back and looked, and I saw that during session, committees are supposed to be meeting daily, if necessary. I don't think we've done as good a job of that as we can. So I would be stressing that we need to do that to make sure we get the legislation through. I noticed that we left a lot of legislation on the table yesterday, and I would hope we could do better, because it takes a long time to write that legislation and work on it. And it's frustrating to spend your time and effort to get something to Congress and then have it not get the time it needs to be heard. Presiding, I think I know how to do that. And the other thing is I would make a commitment certainly to be here on a regular basis, hold regular office hours, so that if we needed to talk in person, we could do that. But I'm always available by email, I'm always available by phone. And frankly, I've been here 10 years, and I was asked if I wanted to take this position. And I thought about it, and I said, yes, I would like to do it one time. Maybe this isn't the time, but I need to put myself out there and let you know that I'm willing and I think want to serve a little bit different role with this Congress, at least for 1 year. So thank you.
Would the other nominees like to speak as well? Congresswoman Pratt.
Okay, thank you. I believe that I would make a good speaker because when I took on this role, when I ran for election, I remember the day of when early voting started. I know that you can't make promises within this body, and I did say that I can't promise you everything you want and everything that we need, but I do promise that I will work hard. And I feel that I have worked hard over the last 2 years. I have, the first year I was on every committee but one, and the second year I was on every committee but one. And I've had some question, you know, why are you on every committee? Well, because I feel that that's my job, to be informed. I feel like so that I know what's going on for the constituency in case they ask. To also share with my colleagues in the event that they can't be there. I think it's my job to be armed with facts so that we can relay that to the people. And my attendance rate at committee meetings, I feel that is impeccable because I'm on some committees, and I believe that the clerk of Congress at one time said there's like 60-something, correct me if I'm wrong, 60-ish committee meetings in a session or more. And I can count from, in the last 2 years, every session, Tomka and Cijo, and every special session. I can still count on one hand how many committee meetings I've met with even being on every committee. I'm present, I drive my children to school up here every day, and I'm in the office every day, you know, unless they have an appointment, someone's sick, or, you know, I've have a prior commitment or I'm at a board meeting, and I also attend many board meetings. I believe I have missed in the last 2 years maybe two gaming enterprise board meetings. I'm a regular at the gaming commission meetings. And I often have to, you know, we make this joke that I have my armor on that day because the board members, they have us on their agenda. They want us to be present. And I understand we have the boards to do their work, but that's how we know what's going on. And I believe that gaming, you know, we know how important that is. And I think it's important to be in the know and understand what's going on when we led up to, you know, the purchase of the land and the expansion and all these things. And I was actually sought out by the gaming board this year and specifically asked to sponsor the amendment for the annual, for the expansion, because I do participate so much. So I do know what's going on. And I just stay knowledgeable and I'm present and I participate locally and culturally. And I feel like, I think one time someone said out in the front that these people are just looking for problems. And I don't feel that way at all. I feel that I personally am always trying to find the solution. And I think that that's what it takes. And I think that we need to be held together and to move forward. And I have a long history of service and making tough decisions. I understand that, you know, the speaker would represents the entire body, but sometimes we do have to make tough decisions in those roles when needed, and I feel that I possess that quality. I do my best to communicate with everyone, and don't get caught up in tunnel vision. You know, I'm always willing to listen and come to a decision of, you know, compromise and for the good of the people, because that's who I represent. And so I do feel that I possess those qualities. Again, I just like to be armed with facts because I want to know what's going on, and that we have a lot going on, and I feel that we need strong representation. And so I would appreciate your support, and best of luck to the other nominees, and I'm willing to work with and support whoever it may be. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to have a moment or two.
Absolutely.
Personally, I want to say congratulations to our former speaker. I had the opportunity to serve here for the first 4 years of this Congress and its beginning, and know that there was a lot of growing pains, if you will, and getting the infrastructure ready for this house here. We went through that, and we're still growing. But there's some things I should like to see happen as we have grown and we matured, if you will, to where we are today. In working with the chief, assistant chief, the executive department, and it too has grown. This whole government has grown. This bureaucracy has grown. Services have grown. We know there's growth. And to be a part of that, how do we grow best? How do we make things better for our people? One of the things that I'm looking at that I would like to see happen is that every piece of legislation that we create and that we birth, be it that we're on the air, or either we're in committee, or we're here on the floor, is that we express the congressional intent very clearly, that we have an intent. Here in this house, we create something. We have a congressional intent about this piece of legislation. It should have its own strengths. We know it has weaknesses, but strength should overcome the weaknesses. And as we move along and move forward with a piece of legislation from committee out here on the floor, to make sure that all people know, the executive knows, everyone that's listening knows that this is the intent that we as the Congress have regarding this piece of legislation. And with that, we have said in ourselves, to ourselves, that we have to, and we should have, a financial analysis that goes along with our bills, severability clause, which should go along with our bills, and a penalty clause, if necessary, should go along with our bills, just to clarify and make sure that that is the intent. That's the intent from this Congress in regards to a piece of legislation. And those are things that we just would do as the author of a bill to make sure that it is clean and clear and accurate. And when it leaves here, this House, it is indeed that, clean and clear and accurate as it moves along on its journey over to executive. I'd like to know how a question would be, you know, how does this legislation help all Osages? Question. That came up 10 years ago. How does this help in all Osages everywhere? Does this piece of legislation? Or does it focus on a particular group, particular area? That's a unique thing that we have here in the Osage Nation, as we all are representatives and our people come from these respective areas, you might say, are our ceremonial centers, and they're important to us. However, we have Osages that are out there, we know through education and all of the work that Congresswoman Edwards has done in higher ed, that we have an incredible amount of people, Osages, that are outside of Osage County, that are out there in education. We talk about health, we get the health cards, that goes out. We have those kind of statistics being developed. That's that growth I'm talking about. How do we keep abreast of that? How do we work along with executive? How do we work together to make this a better Osage Nation? Better than it is. There's always room for improvement. I should like to see more inclusion of our own OFPR involved with us. Ask them to come up. Require them to come up, sit in with our sessions, be available along with Eli over here, that since we no longer have a, quote, CPA on board, then we have our own experts that we're going to have to rely on, our people, that will give us accurate and true information that we can use in the development of our budgets, in the way that we look at those budgets. Timing is important. We have timelines set aside. We have deadlines set aside. I'd like to see us all adhere to those timelines. I, for one, am not an advocate for fast-tracking anything. I like our rules. We wrote them. We birthed them. If they need to be changed, we can change them. But I think our rules are important for us as a guide. That's what we use here in this House. Those are our rules. If we have rules, we should follow them. If we choose not to follow our rules, then why have them? And I think that's important because I believe in a quote and a statement that I've heard many times from other areas, other entities, that government is a deliberately slow process. There's a reason for it to be slow. There's a reason that these pieces of legislation have a day to hang over, to sit out there for a day. There's reasons for that. And those are good reasons, not only for us to do our homework, but for executive or whoever is involved in this to do their homework, be able to respond so that we can take care of things here as a piece of legislation, as a legislature, and do these things in a very accurate and clean way, the best we can do. I for one to say that if I get an invite from executive, I'm not going to go alone. I'm going to take one of you with me. Always believe there's always a need and always a reason to have another set of ears, another set of lenses, somebody else to sit and to be a part of this movement and conversation with executive. And I'll put that invite out there should I get in this position. And when we have these kinds of requests to come from executive, yeah, a couple of us will come over, always. I like that. It just covers a lot of need that we might have and just one person going over. The other thing that I want to say that I think we'll all understand is that whenever we're here, as right now, you know, I'm on the air. Whenever we send emails out, whenever we converse with one another, whenever, you know, it's all public. It's all out there. And we need to be very cautious and, again, very accurate, very, very specific when we are on the air. And that's important to us, and that's important to our constituents, that we're able to say the right things at the right time, be clean and clear with the exchange of information that we have. We have some very special committees out there. It was already addressed by Congresswoman Pratt, that gaming committee, the gaming industry, the gaming is our bread and butter. And it sits there in our particular congressional committee, and I think that's a priority. I think everything that happens in that gaming industry, we all 12 should know about what's going on out there. We all 12 should know. If it's even a weekly kind of update, you know, I like to use the word oversight. There are others who say we shouldn't do that, but I believe that we do have that right to have oversight as a member of Congress, as a representative of our people, to be able to ask questions, just simply ask questions and have oversight of dollars and cents that make our nation function as it does. Had a chance to mature over 10 years, a little bit. I'm talking a little differently than I did day one. And Eddie Redingle and I stood up there and we tied. Even at that time, you know, as far as rules, the chief was the one who reached in a hat and pulled out a name. It happened to be mine. It's about as democratic as we could get, I guess. That was in the early days. Today we've matured just a bit, and here we are. Each and every one of us around this table can sit up there and do this, what we have in front of us. Right now, at this moment, and today, we 12 will select somebody. Any of the bodies can do that. Can select me. Thank you very much. Thank you for this time.
All those in favor of Congresswoman Pratt becoming the Speaker of Congress, would you please raise your hand? All those in favor of Congresswoman Edwards becoming the next Speaker, please raise your hand. All those in favor of Congressman Mason becoming the next Speaker of Congress, please raise your hand. We have a 4-2-6 vote, so at this time we do not have a speaker elected. So we will re-vote. Our rules do not specify how many times we re-vote, so it reverts to Robert's rules. Voting by Robert's rules, we continue to vote until someone either changes their vote or withdraws from being nominated. So once again, all those in favor of Congresswoman Pratt becoming the next Speaker of Congress, raise your hands.
We're not voting, we're voting all three again?
We will vote all three again, unless someone withdraws their nomination.
I'll withdraw my nomination.
for clarification one more time, all those in favor of Congresswoman Pratt, please raise your hand again so I can get that down. Okay. Thank you. All those in favor of Congressman Mason? Thank you.
What's the vote now?
6-6.
I would like to record for you.
Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Okay, so we went through this, I believe, last year, and if it wasn't last year, it was the year before, where we were tied for numerous votes. I believe we sat for 45 minutes and just kept voting and voting and voting. A rule, memory served me correctly, a rule was put in place, and we said we would just keep voting and voting and voting until someone came to flip for the opposite side. And I believe that it was called to our attention that that is or could be considered unconstitutional because the Constitution had mentioned that the Assistant Principal Chief broke ties in chambers. So, RJ, I know you, we discussed this. So I don't really know what we're doing, but we could potentially sit here for another hour, correct? And just keep voting.
Okay. Congresswoman Edwards?
My recollection is on the second vote, one of the Congress members changed their vote, and it was actually fairly quick that we, last year, 2 years ago. That's all I have to say, but I know that Assistant Principal Chief wants to vote.
Assistant Principal Chief, I cannot acknowledge you unless we are a committee of the whole. I'm sorry.
And is that a rule?
Congressman Walker.
Just for point of clarification, the way I remember it, the last two speaker votes have been 6-6 ties, and the same member of Congress switched each of the last two times. Motion to go into the committee of the whole.
Second. All those in favor of going into a committee of the whole?
Point of order.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the purpose?
Could you please state the purpose?
To allow the assistant chief to speak.
Point of order.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we go into the committee of the whole in the middle of a vote?
Can.
In the middle of a vote?
However, I have not said we are voting for an individual at this time. We are just in the middle of a discussion of how to proceed.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second to go into the committee of poll for purpose of allowing the assistant chief to speak. All those in favor of doing so, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? We are now in committee of poll. Assistant Chief Redmore.
The Constitution clearly states it's a right, the Assistant Chief's ability to break any tie. Further, rules place the Constitution two places higher than the rules in terms of hierarchy. And that's all I have to say. So, I believe it's my right to vote.
Congresswoman Edwards.
To come out of the committee of the hall.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Those opposed? Congresswoman Edwards.
Move to allow the Assistant Principal Chief to vote in the next vote.
Second.
Provided there's a tie.
Provided there's a tie. Thank you. Amend my motion. move to elect the assistant principal chief to vote the next vote, provided there is a tie.
Okay. It's, you're not letting me speak in this way. I have already voted. I'd like the record to reflect that.
I withdraw my motion and move to, well, you did vote, but I don't know that we had recognized. Was your vote counted? I don't think your vote was counted, so I think we need to re-vote. Move to re-vote.
Point of order. What's the motion on the floor right now?
To allow to count.
To allow the assistant principal chief to vote in the next vote.
And I amend that motion to say,
in the event of a tie.
And recognize his vote. In the event of a tie.
Are we in discussion?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I don't have a constitution before me, but also I believe that it says under Article 6 that Congress elects its officers. I'm opposed to that. I think that we've cast two votes. I think that we should at least try a third vote in that event. I don't believe that the assistant chief's vote was recognized when he threw his hand up the last time. I would be for going through one more vote before your motion is put before Congress. That's my discussion on that.
Point of order.
Congressman Supernaw.
I wouldn't be in favor of another vote. I think it's a bad precedent to have the executive branch, in effect, elect the Speaker of our House. I've always been against that. In fact, it kind of bothers me that the executive branch would want a certain individual, because that indicates to me that they may not have the division in the two branches of government that we should have. I want to tell you, because a lot of you are not as engaged maybe as others, but in my case and in others, with the Speaker, the past Speaker, I was in contact with her every day, as well as Kelly Corbin. And that's what you've got to look for. You've got to look for a Speaker that's going to be there every day and available every day. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be that way, but I know what had worked in the past. And I also know that speaking for Angela, but she's here every day, and I'd like to continue that. I think that being Speaker is not just a position of prestige, or it's a working job. It's something that you're in every day, and have to stay on top of a lot of things that some people don't stay on top of. And I think that we would be derelict if we just abdicated our responsibility to the executive branch. That would be the effect of letting him break the tie. You.
Call the question.
Okay.
There is no such thing, right?
There is, but the way it's been utilized in the past has not been correct.
Okay. Did I just utilize it correctly?
You can call for the question, but we have to vote on whether or not we're calling for the question.
Then I will not. I withdraw my.
Okay. Is there any more discussion on the motion?
Point of order.
Yes, sir.
I did not call.
The motion is to, in the case of a tie, the assistant chief would break it.
Yes.
Is that a rule suspension?
Yes. So it would require 2/3 vote.
Joe, we don't know what we're doing either.
Is that correct? Is there any more discussion on the motion before us? The motion is to allow the assistant chief to vote in the next vote in the event of a tie and to recognize his vote. All those in favor? This is going to be roll call. Congresswoman Edwards?
Yes.
Congressman Hamilton?
Yes.
Congressman Baker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt?
No.
Congressman Shaw?
No.
Congressman Supernaw?
No.
Congressman Tillman?
No.
Congressman Walker?
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No.
Congresswoman Bethlehead, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Motion passes. Or no, it does not. Fails.
Call for the vote.
All those in favor of Congresswoman Pratt being the next Speaker of Congress, please raise your hand. All those in favor of Congressman Mason being the next Speaker of Congress, please raise your hand. The next Speaker of Congress, or the Speaker of the 5th Osage Nation Congress, is Congressman Mason. At this time, I relinquish the position of chair. You are new to the right of the speaker, and I ask that Kevin take his seat.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're at item B, which is the selection of second speaker, who is also the chair of the Congressional Affairs Committee. The floor is now open for nominations for second speaker. Congresswoman Bufflehead.
Nominate Angela Pratt for second speaker.
Congressman Maker.
I nominate Congressman Otto Hamilton.
Any other nominations? Congressman Supernaw.
I make a motion, nomination cease.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Discussion, hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Madam Clerk, would you privilege me by taking care of this vote?
Yes, sir. All those in favor of Congresswoman Pratt becoming the second speaker of the 5th Osage Nation Congress, raise your hand. All those in favor of Congressman Hamilton becoming the second speaker of the 5th Osage Nation Congress, raise your hand. You have a tie vote of 6-6. So we will revote All those in favor of Congresswoman Pratt becoming the second speaker of the Osage Nation Congress, please raise your hand. All those in favor of Congressman Hamilton, please raise your hand. Once again, we have a tie vote. All those in favor of Congresswoman Pratt being the second speaker of the 5th Osage Nation Congress, please raise your hand. All those in favor of Congressman Hamilton being the second speaker of the 5th Osage Nation Congress, raise your hand. The new second speaker of the 5th Osage Nation Congress is Congressman Hamilton.
Item C is the election of 4 members of the Congressional Affairs Committee. Floor is open now for Congressman Supernov.
I make a motion that we recess for to caucus in the
second.
The motion's been made to recess caucus, and I have a second. Congresswoman Edwards.
So is this a suspension of the rules based on rule 1.1 or not?
Okay.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
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 Opposed, say no. We are in recess until the call of the chair for the purpose of